things rob us of our cheerfulness. Our verse that we've been using, Philippians 4:4-7, reminds us to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, we say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. In everything, we need to give thanks. Ephesians 5:20 tells us, always thanking God for the things that He gives us through the Lord Jesus Christ. So those things are what we're talking about this morning as we finish up. That first verse of Philippians 4:6, it tells us to rejoice always. Always rejoice. We sing a song, Count Your Blessings. I like to sing that song quite often. Why do you think it's important that we count our blessings?
A lot of times we get trapped in what we don't think we don't have.
Right.
And fail to see what we do have.
Right.
I've done that every once in a while.
Yeah.
I said a few years ago, but I'm like, okay, I'm cool.
Yeah.
Plenty of stuff.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's going to be what we're finishing up with in our lesson here, those very thoughts are. Why count them? So that we're aware of them. We often kind of, I guess, out of context a little bit, but by the same principle, in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, we often use that for our giving. We give on the first day of the week. And in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7, we're told there that we're to give as we purpose in our hearts. It's a similar thing. Why purpose in our hearts before we give? For the same reasons Brian brought out. When we purpose in our hearts, we cause ourselves to think and dwell and take note of what God has blessed us with so richly. We're not to just whip out our billfold or reach in our pocket and just throw something in there. God wants us to purpose in our hearts. Be aware of the blessings that He's bestowed upon us and give accordingly. I think it fits just fine. Thought about this. I saw a thing when I was looking into some of this study that said if people were honest with themselves, they'd find out that we're probably in the top 10% of the most fortunate people in the world when you look at the globe as a whole. I kind of looked at some stats, and this is just numbers, so take it for what it's worth. It's the point that we're going to make. It's important, not the particular numbers. But about 4-point-something% of the population of this globe, this world, are Americans. And that's the ones that we know about. I mean, there's others that we don't know. We know that. But we're in a very high percentage of the whole population of the world. If you threw Canada in that, the North America or whatever, we're in a very, very fortunate place where people live probably better than anywhere else in the world or as good. We're very, very fortunate physically and blessed physically. We've got a lot to be thankful for if we look at it that way. If we see how blessed that we are, it helps us, Brian brought out, our problems are going to be put in perspective and put in their place. And we're not going to be dwelling on them. It's detrimental to ourselves spiritually and emotionally to dwell constantly on problems that we have in our life or bad things that are happening to us. We need to dwell on our blessings and not our trials. We've spent a lot, the last 2 weeks we've probably been on cheerfulness, looking at a lot of the things that we should be cheerful for because our blessings are so numerous. I mentioned Ephesians 5:20 there a while ago, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We always need to be giving thanks for these things because we are truly blessed far beyond measure. How do we handle our blessings? I know when we just in certain aspects of society, we often look at our leaders. How do they wear their authority? How do they, you know, delve out their authority in their positions that they serve in? The same goes for Christians when it comes to our blessings. How do we wear those blessings? How do we delve those out? How do we put those to work? How do we let them affect us? We need to always be mindful of that. See, some of the most handicapped, I guess, physically people in the world that are the happiest. There's so much to be thankful and happy for. Wrote up here, ran out of board. One reason for gratitude is the good that comes from trials. That's what we've kind of pushed this last couple weeks on cheerfulness, that we have to look. Psalms 119:71, and I wanted to write these down so that everybody could take time and further studying those if you wanted to. We see there in Psalms that the writer there, it's good, he even says, to be afflicted. Psalms 119:71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. Many times these afflictions or these trials wake us up, refocus ourselves on God and on the things that are at hand. I often thought about Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Go back and study that some, 7 through 10 especially, about his affliction. He welcomed it, I guess, in a sense, because he understood and knew that it served a purpose. And he said that it kept him grounded. And
one of the things, Mark, about this is the idea that when you don't have a lot of the stuff that maybe we have as it is, that we learn dependence on God. And that's what he's saying here in Psalms. He says, you know, it's good that I was afflicted because I may learn your statutes. In other words, depend upon your word.
Yeah.
Same thing, and even the same thing in 2 Corinthians. He didn't have his health at that point, if that's what his affliction was. But even in that, he learned to depend on God. His grace is sufficient for me.
Yeah, absolutely. He even mentioned, you know, that it kept him from being proud or from being puffed up. It kept him very grounded. It's a great point. Job 23:10 was another one that I have there. He mentions there, but he knows the way that I take, speaking of God. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. We can look forward to that as our trials and our tribulations test us and try us. They purify us. They can purify us, I should put it that way. Romans 8 is a chapter that I often remember. I know we often sign chapters, things that stand out in our mind, but Romans 8 often comes to my mind when I hear Romans 8 about hope, the hope that we have. It's a great chapter for that, but it mentions in Romans 8:17 that we are heirs if we suffer with Christ. Suffer and tribulation and trials, it's coming to us. It's going to happen. We're heirs, recipients of an inheritance if we are faithful in these things and that we stay close to God and we follow. Just as we're going to be refined and purified as gold and be presented as gold, as Job said, if we do as Job did and cling to God in these things. James 1:2. Another one we often refer to James and trials and tribulations. We had a study a few years back on the book of James. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. That's verse 2, chapter 1. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. And why? We go to verse 3 and verse 4. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Many times you can interchange the word mature or complete with perfect work or whatever. And that's exactly what he's saying here. Just as Paul had a benefit from his affliction, we have a benefit from ours too when we go through these trials. 1 Peter 4:13 is handy there. Tells us that we are to rejoice. Again, rejoice as partakers of Christ's sufferings. I know on several of these C's that we've talked about, I think we've talked about 7 or 8 C's, even under cheerfulness, we have to take the from it that we're going to suffer with Christ. The world suffers too. We suffer with the world and worldly and natural things. We're not escaping from it. We're not promised a life of bubble wrap around us. Christ made it clear that you will suffer what the world suffers, plus we will suffer because of our convictions and because of our faith. And that's why Job is such a good example to us. If we will stay true to God and to our faith, He will see us through it, and we have such a greater reward that awaits us if we stick to that. The last two, Hebrews and 2 Corinthians, kind of a summation, I think, of all the ones that are we've already read, kind of a result of what we can expect. Look at Hebrews 12:11. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Some very good points that come from that. Even though it's along the same lines that we've been discussing, it talks about the chastening. Nobody likes that. Nobody likes it. We don't like giving it as an adult or a parent. And we certainly didn't like receiving it as a child, but it was necessary. It's like medicine. We don't like medicine. We got to take medicine. We don't like a lot of things, but we got to do it because it's for the betterment of us. Chastening is part of it. If we love that which we are over, as far as parents go, we will chasten our children to obey and yield, because it says, it gives us a result. It yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. That's where righteousness comes from. We only know righteousness. We only know good. We only know these things because God has given to us in His Word. But it has a stipulation that it finishes up with as it closes in verse 11. It's only going to affect and help those who have been trained by it. That tells us that we can suffer these things and not learn from them. And if that's the case, it's not benefiting us at all. We're just in place to take the same problems over and over. It's something that really surprises as you look back in history, because man has been very good at, well, pretty thorough, I should say, I guess, at recording history. But it's amazing what we don't learn from our history. When we look back and we see things that we suffer, we don't learn from history, and that's the point it's making here. If we will let it train us and learn from our lessons, we'll be a better Christian for it. 2 Corinthians, good verse to finish up with, chapter 4:17-18. Makes the point that this is nothing that we suffer here according or compared to what we have coming. It says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen,